the National Rifle Association was on the docket of U.S. bankruptcy court in Dallas yesterday. We look at its status and influence as it files for bankruptcy and seeks to reincorporate in Texas. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. In a statement Friday, the NRA said it's moving to Texas to be, quote, free from the toxic political environment of New York. That's a state where it was first chartered almost 150 years ago. Has the NRA lost sight of its original mission as a gun safety organization? Are you a member? What do you make of its financial troubles and its attempt to move to Texas? 800-642-1234 to join in. Danny Hakem is an investigative reporter at the New York Times. Danny, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So the NRA, an extremely influential organization in our country, reporting almost $312 million in revenue to the IRS in 2017, but now declaring bankruptcy. What is at the heart of this organization's financial troubles?
Sure. Well, this is a very unusual bankruptcy. It's not unprecedented, but it's unusual. The NRA is not actually insolvent. So typically in a bankruptcy, you have a company that's insolvent. They've reported about $50 million in net assets. So what this is about, rather than the money, is trying to escape regulators in New York, where they were chartered almost 150 years ago. As you said, the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, sued the NRA last August. This was amid a long-running corruption investigation. And she's attempting to shut the NRA using her regulatory powers over New York nonprofits.
Well, step back for us to look at the parts and pieces of the NRA. How does it retain its nonprofit status despite the vast amount of influence it can exert over politics and lawmakers in our country?
Well, I mean, that's not that unusual. There are many nonprofits that conduct political activity. That's, you know, fairly common in America. You know, there's all sorts of nonprofits across the political spectrum that lobby in one way or another. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce, I believe, is a nonprofit. So it's not that unusual that they're structured as a nonprofit group. That's a fairly common thing.
The NRA's leader, Wayne LaPierre, has drawn much attention in recent years for his spending. There were documents leaked in 2019 showing he had spent almost $300,000 of NRA money on his wardrobe over more than a decade. How much of the organization's financial issues are related to LaPierre's management?
Well, he's been running the NRA for 30 years now. So, you know, a lot of it comes back to Wayne LaPierre. You know, there were, as you said, there are allegations that surfaced about his spending on his wardrobe. This was, you know, a lot of his wardrobe spending, and these are hundreds of thousands of dollars, were at the Xenia Boutique in Beverly Hills, which is, you know, not exactly your, you know, what you would associate with a typical NRA member, perhaps. He was also had all sorts of foreign travel on the NRA's dime to places like the Bahamas, to Europe, to Lake Como in Italy. So there were a number of things that emerged over time that raised a lot of questions about his oversight. Those are just a few of the things, but those are certainly central issues in the Attorney General's lawsuit against the NRA. And the NRA itself recently said LaPierre had repaid a lot of money to the group that was misspent. So to some extent recently, they have acknowledged there was some kind of problem.
We're talking with Danny Hakem, who's an investigative reporter at the New York Times. We're looking at the NRA and its role now as we look at the organization attempting to move, reincorporate to Texas. Do you think the NRA is being mismanaged, or is it merely being targeted in the culture wars? Do you think the country needs stronger gun control laws, and can that be achieved without infringing on Second Amendment rights? Join in 800-644-1234. 4-2-1-2-3-4. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Danny, tell us more about the NRA investigation being done by New York's Attorney General Letitia James. What is she looking into?
Well, I mean, she has looked. This started, I think it was 2019, April, maybe March or April. So she's looked at all sorts of spending practices at the group, focusing, you know, a lot of it focusing on Wayne LaPierre and, you know, how he was sort of extracting benefits from the NRA, but also, you know, a range of activities involving other executives. With, I think the overall theme was that, you know, executives at the NRA have been accused of enriching themselves, you know, at the expense of the members of the group. You know, you had a, I think they spent about $13 million, something around that, for a personal travel consultant for Wayne LaPierre. It was a no-bid contract. LaPierre was accused of using like a luxury yacht when he went to the Bahamas. It was owned by a contractor. A lot of the board members were, you know, receiving money in various ways from the NRA, whether it was, you know, the NRA spent a lot of money buying, you know, antique firearms from Tom Selleck, one of the board members. They spent money, you know, on, I believe, on a reality show connected to Ted Nugent, the rock guitarist, who's another board member. So, you know, they've been looking at a whole range of spending by the organization.
Will the bankruptcy filing in Dallas affect her investigation?
I think most of the bankruptcy lawyers I've talked to say no, that you can't. You know, I think the bankruptcy filing is seen as kind of a long shot. Again, the NRA is not actually insolvent. You know, I think bankruptcy judges, by and large, sort of study that carefully. You know, if an organization is filing for bankruptcy that's not insolvent, that's something that's certainly looked at to make sure it's a good faith filing. The Attorney General's office has already, you know, said to the court that, you know, there's an exemption in the usual stay of other legal actions and bankruptcies for law enforcement proceedings. And even later this morning, there's a legal proceeding in the New York Attorney General's case. And, you know, I believe the NRA is going to participate in that. So I actually don't think it will, I don't see it derailing that proceeding.
Let's bring in a call now. Rick is with us from Evansville. Hi, Rick. What would you like to say about the NRA?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on. I would just like to say that for decades, the NRA has shifted away from its primary goal of safety, training, and education about firearms and their safe and effective and use, and gone to, oh, my God, they're coming in the middle of the night tonight if you don't send us money right now. And that has turned the organization completely against what it's always stood for. Additionally, I'm wondering if there is any way for the NRA to get back to the idea of working with law enforcement, working with governments to better screen and protect against mass shootings, so that we don't enact more gun control legislation that we don't need. We need better enforcement and better screening.
So Rick is saying that the NRA has strayed from its missions of promoting public safety, training for gun safety, marksmanship, you know, promoting hunter safety. Danny, what does that look like to you?
Well, you know, the NRA was started by a couple Civil War veterans. Actually, one of them was also a New York Times reporter, as it turns out. And it really started as an organization that was about marksmanship. And then, you know, for many years, it was about, you know, safety, marksmanship, gun handling issues. And there were even, you know, when I think in the 1920s, 30s, when machine guns were banned, the NRA worked with the government and supported that. But in the 1970s, there was a real shift at the NRA, and it started becoming a much more political organization. There was kind of an organizational coup at the time, and after that, it became a much more political organization.
Danny Hakem is an investigative journalist for the New York Times. We're discussing the NRA's bankruptcy filing and what it looks like amid other pending lawsuits and investigations. What do you make of the NRA's internal struggles? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Danny Hakem on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're discussing the power of the National Rifle Association as it was in bankruptcy court yesterday in Dallas, seeks to reincorporate in Texas. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. New York's Attorney General Letitia James sued in August to dissolve the NRA.
The NRA's influence has been so powerful that the organization went unchecked for decades, while top executives funneled millions into their own pockets.
The NRA sued back, saying James had violated the NRA's right to free speech, and they sought to block her investigation. What questions do you have about the pending litigation? 800-642-1234. Danny Hakem is an investigative reporter at the New York Times, and he's with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's take another call now. Jim is joining us from Cameron. Hi, Jim.
Hi. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. What would you like to say?
Yeah, I was just going to, I guess, add a little comment back to the previous caller. He did mention that the NRA seems to be shifting from more of a safety organization and more focusing on gun rights and almost scare tactics to involve some members to contribute more. I would say that's probably more of a product of really gun culture these days and really incrementalism trying to, you know, decrease our availability or our right to access firearms in this country. And so I would say that that's probably why the shift has focused, just because, you know, from the side of the public, the shift really has been more towards, you know, trying to decrease our access to guns or gun rights. And I would say that, you know, the younger population of gun owners these days are really looking for an organization, for one, that doesn't contribute to their own slush funds, but then also really are focusing on preserving our gun rights. And I would say that, you know, potentially maybe some of the financial difficulties or decreased revenue from NRA, if that is the case, has been funneled into, I would say, more appropriate organizations for this day and age, such as the Gun Owners of America and Firearms Policy Coalition. And yeah, just appreciate you taking the call.
Yeah, Jim, thank you for that. And, you know, Danny, is there any research or polling on what a younger generation thinks about the NRA?
You know, I haven't seen any polling like that broken down by age. There are, you know, there are other gun groups, as the caller mentioned. I think, though, the NRA is still the, you know, by far the group that does, you know, most of the lobbying in terms of sort of political reach. The NRA is, you know, in many ways the only game in town and the group that lobbies by far the most aggressively, you know, more than the other, you know, what other groups there are.
What would a move to Texas mean for the group?
Well, you know, I think if the group does eventually find a way to Texas, you know, you'd have a much different regulatory environment. I think in New York, the New York Attorney General is probably the most aggressive just generally in regulating nonprofits and making sure that nonprofits are following, you know, following their charter, following the laws they're supposed to. You know, I think the NRA's view is they get you know, they'd have a much more friendly attorney general in Texas. And, you know, there have been a number of regulatory actions in New York just beyond the attorney general. The governor Andrew Cuomo has also, you know, blocked the NRA from selling insurance products in New York. So there's been a range of actions against the NRA in New York, and I think they just would rather go to a red state, to be honest.
In running so many different kinds of organizations under the NRA umbrella, each subject to different rules, you know, a 501c4, a 501c3, these different political action committee, different charities, does that make moving money around a bit murky?
Well, it does. Yeah. I mean, one thing I've looked at is the NRA has a charitable arm, and one thing one practice that they have done increasingly over the years is people will donate to the charitable arm tax-free, and then the NRA will move money from the charitable arm to just the NRA itself. And they've been doing that, you know, at an increasing rate, sharply increasing rate over the last decade, as they have had some financial issues. I mean, as I said before, they're not insolvent, but they're also they also have had some financial struggles. So as those struggles have played out, they've been moving more money from their charitable arm to the, you know, to their main, you know, to the main NRA. And that's something that's actually being looked at in a separate investigation by the Attorney General of Washington, D.C., the city, where that charitable arm was set up.
We're talking with Danny Hakim, who's an investigative reporter at the New York Times, who's been writing on the NRA. Let's bring in Denny now in Wapaka with thoughts. Hi, Denny.
Hi, good morning. Real quickly, I'm a 70-year-old veteran. Both my boys are veterans. We are hunters and fishermen. We no longer belong to the NRA for a number of years for all the reasons you've already been told. They're no longer a gun rights organization. And if I'm also a business owner, and if the senior management of our little company has stolen the kind of money, and that's what's happened at the internal part of the NRA, or committed graft for their own benefit, they would probably be imprisoned by now. And I've read several in-depth studies on it. I'm sad to say that, because we need gun safety. And the last point is, I think by survey, about 70% of NRA members believe that we need to tighten some gun loopholes pretty tightly, and I believe that also. And yet the NRA just thumbs their nose at those members. So as an outdoorsman, give your money to the Elk Foundation, to Pheasants Forever, to your Fishermen Trout Unlimited. They all lobby on your behalf, too, and they don't do it angrily or with graft. Thank you for taking my call.
So Denny has gone to other organizations and turned away from the NRA, Danny. Are the NRA's troubles having an effect on donorship numbers or donations?
You know, they're reporting sort of lags. You know, the reporting you see in their tax records, for instance, lags, considerably. So I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I think there's no doubt that they're having financial troubles. They've been under a lot of financial strain. I think they're, you know, the overhead of the organization is part of it. You know, there's a range of reasons the way they've been run. But I think, one thing about the NRA is they tend to, this is something, you hear from a lot of the NRA's executives, is they always tend to do better when there's a Democrat in office. They tend to raise a lot more money when there's a Democrat in office. So if fundraising was suppressed, in the Trump era, I think they're hoping that, they can raise money off the fact that there's a Democrat in the White House.
So with Biden, what can you tell us about his agenda for guns and how the NRA will approach this administration?
Well, he's got a pretty broad he's filed a pretty broad agenda. I mean, he wants to, among his proposals are to put in place universal background checks. Right now, not everyone who buys a weapon gets a background check. So he wants to impose universal background checks. He'd like to reinstate a ban on assault weapons like the AR-15, which is, pops up in a number of the tragic mass shootings you see. He'd also like to stop shielding gun manufacturers from liability lawsuits, which they are. There was legislation passed a number of years ago that shielded gun manufacturers from these kind of suits. So these are among the proposals that he laid out during the campaign. Now, whether he can pass these, you know, in a 50-50 Senate, we'll see. I think it remains to be seen.
Danny, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Danny Hakim is an investigative reporter at The New York Times. Ahead this hour, it's your takeaways from Inauguration Day and what you heard in President Biden's inaugural address to the nation. Bring your reaction, 800-642-1234. News update is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.